Well, this morning we'll be in the second epistle of Thessalonians. Of course, we know Paul wrote the epistle through the Spirit of God. And we'll be in the first chapter. And we'll start with the first verse, and I will proceed it by reading. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith grows exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounds, so that we ourselves glory in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting punishment from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some good renderings here, and there's some of them that miss it by a mile. Yeah. Huh? There's a couple in there that miss it. You already see them, don't you? Okay. First of all, the Thessalonians, what does it mean? Overcomers, that's right. So who's he talking to? To mature sons of God. He's not talking to the ones that are failing. It's very obvious that there's another class besides the ones he's talking about. He's talking to. Now, everybody knows that everybody don't have their eyes open. In his day, everybody didn't have their eyes open, did they? Okay? So let's start back over and see what we can come up with, the best we can understand it. Okay. Paul and Silvanus. Silvanus, do you know who that really is?
Silas.
Okay? Cut to the chase, it's Silas. And Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God. Now, the church, what's the word mean? Ecclesia? Called out ones, the called out people. So he's saying, to the called out people of the Thessalonians, of the overcomers, the ones that are called out from the Thessalonians, the overcomers, in God. Where are they at? Didn't say in Thessalonica, did he? He said they're in God. The ones that are in God that are called out. In God our Father, and cross out that word the Lord Jesus Christ, because the word the is an added word. So what it's really saying is God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Same one, same person. Didn't Jesus say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Correct? So is there a difference? There's only one God. The book says it many times. I am one. There is no God besides me. I had a lady write to me this week, and she was having struggles with that. Is there three gods? Is there a Trinity? And I said, no, there's not three gods that pop up when you need whichever kind of God you need. It's one God that fulfills everything. And so I wrote back to her, and she come back with more questions. And I said, that's fine. It should. Every time I answer you, it should create more questions. You know, because she was caught up in that and repentance and a lot of things at the church. She's trying to come out of the church. She said, I don't want that. I know it's wrong, but I want to repent for all the things that I think wrong. I said, well, if you're going to sit down and make a list of them, you know, it could be a long time. Because there's a lot of things that the church has put us, we're not even aware of. When we come out of the system, just like, what was it, the Jews came out of Egypt, and they walked how long in the desert? And they was dropping stuff all the way along. Took them, some of them never come out of the desert, did they? Some of them did, some of them didn't. Yeah, the burden's too much, you'll get rid of it. See? And if you're not aware it's a burden, you're not going to get rid of it. But when you find out, what's the point of me doing that specific thing that the church said I must do? If there's no reasoning for me to do it other than man's tradition, why would I do it? Right? Well, but I understand what they're doing, but when I said, when you realize that it's a man's tradition and not an ordinance of God, why would you do it anymore? But there's still people that continue to do the same thing, you know. They don't hear because they'll say, yeah, oh, you're right, and they go right back and do the same thing over and over and say, well, let them go. Leave them go. Okay? So it's God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. He's our Father and He's our Lord. Because it's one Spirit. See, she thought the Holy Spirit was another personality besides Jesus and the Father. No. Well, they teach them that. But God is one. He might have different, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Different ways of exposing.
Like we were talking about the diamond has many facets.
Many facets of the diamond. God has many facets. But He is the Father. And He's in the Son. Him and the Son are one. If we are part of the Son, the mature Son, we've got to be like the Father too, don't we? I mean, that's just pretty simple math there to figure that one out, you know. See, one, yeah, that's one. Yeah, it's just one, not three parts of Him. So, and a Spirit is God. So you don't have to worry about that. Verse 2 goes on and says, grace. And what is grace? It's a divine influence. Divine influence is God's influence, is it not? Okay, it's God's influence in you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. So it's the part of God that's been placed within you, okay? That's what it's all about. And He's our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, but He's the one that gives you peace. And when Jesus left, He said, my peace I leave unto you. Correct? So, we've got it. Do we act like it? It's our package, but guess what? If you don't pick up the package, do you receive it? You got to pick it up. You got to pick up the package. We are bound to thank God always concerning you. Okay? Brethren, as it is proper or meet, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the charity or the love of every one of you all to each other superabounds, so that we ourselves boast in you in the churches of God concerning your cheerful endurance. Notice the word cheerful endurance. Something's coming. The faith, cheerfulness, and the faith in all your persecutions and tribulations, pressures that you endure or put up with. So, did you notice he said all the tribulations and all the persecutions that you go through are cheerfully endured? See, I mean, you know, how many people in the church realm, when something bad happens, cheerfully endure it? Not very many. Every now and then you'll see one, and usually that person is someone that's heard something probably beyond the church message and maybe is even on their way out, because they wouldn't be staying there truly when they find out the rest of the message. Like Paul Harvey and then the rest of the message. Because they're only getting a piece of the message. Verse 5, which is not a manifest token, but it's evidence of the righteous judgment of God. It's positive proof. It's evidence, isn't it? That God has approved you, right? Of the righteous judgment of God, that you, and cross out that word may, because it's not there, that you be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. It's the apparent or evidence given of the righteous judgment of God in order that you be accounted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Well, listen to that. Come on in the kingdom, you're going to suffer. How many people's lining up at that line? Isn't that what it said? It's not going to be a cakewalk because people are not going to like you when you tell the truth. And people who like you the least will be the church people. The very ones that are supposed to be your brothers and sisters. Newsflash, half brothers and sisters. That's what it said in the Old Testament. Joseph had one blood brother and he had 10. That's the law. He had 10 half-brothers. There are half-brothers. They're still going to be there, but they're not going to be the ones that have right to go in and out and find pasture. They're going to be outside. Remember Jesus said in John 10, said they're going to be able to go in and out and have pasture. The rest of them can't. They're going to be outside that inner circle. And I know the church says, oh, you're slicing and dicing. No, I'm not. That's what the book says. You know, open the book up and read it yourself. So, and that's what I'm saying about these new messages that people are putting out about everybody is love, everybody is first fruit, everybody is the body of Christ. It's not the truth. Tell the truth. You're disappointing people. You're having given people a false hope. I had a guy sit and tell me, he said, false hope's better than no hope. And I said, no, it's not. It's no better. It's just a lie, is it not? If they've given you false hope, is it the truth? If it's not the truth, what would it be?
Kind of like buying a lottery ticket and thinking, not buying the lottery ticket and thinking you're going to win.
Well, that's what they're saying. They're giving them hope they got the lottery ticket, but they've never went through what he said right there about that you also suffer. You're going to suffer. Okay, you don't do any suffering. Do you think that you're going to walk in scot-free when he says you have to go through the sufferings? I could do a teaching on suffering. It'd take all day long. Just to read the verses in the New Testament on suffering take about 2 hours. Just to read them. And that's not every one of them, that's most of them. Now, why do you think he put all that in there? And it's all about suffering for the kingdom, suffering for God, for doing the right thing. And everybody leaves that part out. You don't hear nobody preach about that, do you?
Preparing for your way.
Huh? That suffering prepares you. It really does you a favor. It helps you grow to maturity, but they don't give you the nutrients you need. It's just like in the New Testament, Jesus said about the tree, if it doesn't produce fruit, don't cut it down. He said, dung it the second year and the third year, and if it doesn't produce in the third year, do what? Cut it down. Start over again. Go somewhere else. Do something else. Hey, I didn't write the book. Somebody else did. Okay, look at verse 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Okay, it's a righteous thing. What's it say in verse 6, chapter 6 of Galatians, verse 7 and 8? God is not mocked. Man will reap what he sows. If he sows to the flesh, he reaps corruption. If he sows to the Spirit, he reaps the life of the ages. Isn't that retribution for what you do wrong? If you sow apples seeds, you're going to get apple trees. You're not going to get tomatoes. It's pretty obvious, isn't it? So he said, you know, you do it and you're reaping it for yourself. Who's really punishing you?
Yourself.
I went over and stuck my finger in a socket in the wall. Could I blame God for electrocuting me? No, it's for me, for being stupid. For being stupid, see? So that's what I'm saying. People, they need to hear it as it is. Get down to earth, make it simple so that everybody can understand it. But this religious stuff, recently heard someone talking, and they talk so fast, it's because of insecurities in the person They talk so fast that I know there couldn't be 1% of the people listening that heard what she said. See? I mean, they got to slow down. Everybody can't process as fast as somebody with a, I won't get into that, but you know, she's got the possibility of telling things at a very high rate of speed. And if you don't, it's just like church, you know, they say things so fast and they never give you a chance to respond, but you don't have a chance to respond because you couldn't drive a hat pin between two of her words with a jackhammer.
Well, if it's rehearsed and repeated often,
yep.
Then it becomes just words and they can rattle them off real fast.
But the point is not saying words, but it's communicating with the people. Right. See, that's the point. To getting the understanding that you have into their mind so they understand what you understand.
It's not communication.
It's not communication, see. Look at verse 7. And you who are troubled or pressed, rest with us, not when, but in the rest with us in the Lord Jesus. Okay? When he's revealed. And what it says shall be, it is said the Lord Jesus revealed from the realm of the Spirit in the midst of his mighty angels or messengers. Let me read that again. When the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lord Jesus revealed from heaven in the midst of his mighty angels. Who is the mighty angels? What are we? That's us. Yeah, but see, it says when he is revealed where? In the midst of us. See, now, does that mean everybody sees what we know there is there? See, it's revealed in us, and guess what? It's going to take a while for us to take that process and exchange places where it's no longer Christ in me, but it's me in Christ. Absolutely. And when I realize that him and I are what? Did Jesus not proclaim this message in John 17? He said, Father, make them one with me as I am one with you. So, he asked for it. I guarantee you he got what he asked for. So the ones that he has proclaimed his, the ones that the Father gave him, he said, I lost none. And he wasn't talking about 12 there either. He was talking about all first fruit. So when he asked for them, hey, whenever he is one with Father and we are one with him, when we learn that we are the one, and I shouldn't say learn, that's not a real good, when I remember that I am truly one with him, and when I can see it in my eyes that I have that nature of God within me, that I don't get mad and fly off the handle, just like Jesus, he was just a even keel all the way. It was a flatliner. Yeah. That's what we have to come to in our nature. That's not a choice, is it? I mean, I can't say, well, I like everything else, but I don't like that deal. I want to be able to do what I want to do. That don't work. I have got to see the pattern, just like my hands right here. My hands up, my other hand is a pattern to it. And I got to be a pattern to him as he is a pattern of his Father. There's no difference, is there? And people should be able to use us as a pattern. We should live our lives to the way that we are a pattern. And you know, people were not going to like you. People didn't like Jesus, did they? If they liked him, they had a sorry way of showing it because they killed him. They tried to kill him many times before he died, before they actually hung him on a tree.
But then there were those that idolized him.
Well, yeah, there's always those around, but he never let them idolize him. He always kept humble, didn't he? He never accepted those praises of trying to elevate him. He just told them what he was. And he wasn't afraid to say, I am a son of God. And when he said, I am, that torqued off a whole bunch of them. Because when he said, I am, those Jew people knew what that was. The I am was God. He was saying he was God and they couldn't handle it. Well, if I am the Son of God, your offspring is you, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yep. See, so there's nothing we can do about their perception of things in their minds. If they choose to stay where they want, where they're at, then don't bother them, because there's a purpose for them being there. Even if it is just to aggravate you. And some of them have that designation. And they do a fine job.
They're
very good at their jobs. You know, if the people who say they're children of God, sons of God, was as efficient at their job, whew, man, what a world this would be. If we was as efficient as the negative side is, the negative just does a fantastic job. The positive side's the ones that don't hold up. Not many. Okay, where'd I leave off? Yeah, okay, I am. Verse 8. In flame from his mighty angels, he's revealed from the realm of the Spirit in the midst of his mighty angels. And see, these verses should be running together. In flaming fire, not taking but giving. Okay. He's not taking anything. He's giving not vengeance, but he's given vindication to them that know not God. When he appears, he's not coming to judge the world, as the church world keeps telling us, don't they? Doesn't the church world tell us that? Okay, he's not coming to judge the world. He's coming to give them vindication. On the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. Do you think that Jesus asked anything of the Father that he denied him?
No.
There's no way. So he's coming to give them vindication. And that the ones that know not God and obey not the good news, the good message of our Lord Jesus Christ. See? That's real simple. When you see the truth of it is, it's not negative, it's a positive. But everybody tells this is a negative. It's positive. And the next verse, boy, talk about butchering something. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. Now how in the world could you say that after the verse before it? What it should say is this, whose justice is paid with age abiding destruction of the flesh from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power.
Do that again.
Okay. Whose justice is paid with age abiding destruction of the flesh. See? Huh? Sure it does. From the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His presence, of His power, rather. Now, if you realize that the destruction is not the destruction of people, it's the fleshly thinking in the minds, okay? It's the minds that's got to be changed. Did you get that, Lloyd?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's twisted.
It sounds
really negative.
It justifies
But look at the positive side. It says everlasting or age-abiding judgment. Okay. Everlasting, ever age-abiding destruction of the flesh. That means it's never coming back. Even in their punishment, the everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. That means in the presence of God, there will be no more carnality.
No more fleshly thinking.
Yeah.
That's the burden.
But see, that's not at the end of time. When He shows up in you, when you understand who you are, that's when it's a total destruction, and you can call it eternal if you want to. You see what I mean? Because it's done. When He destroys the fleshly thinking, the carnal thinking, it's done, isn't it? Not going to be anymore. Verse 10, he goes on and says, when He appears, when it says shall come, should be, He appears, and it says to be glorified, those to be verbs are not there. It says, it should say, when He appears glorified in His saints. Hello, when He appears glorified in His saints, it's not going to be glorified. When He appears glorified, when He's appeared, He'll be glorified, period. And those two be verbs are not there either. It says to be admired in his saints. It says and admired in his saints. He'll be glorified and admired in his saints. And in all them or the ones that believe, all them that believe in that day. And then there's in parentheses, because our testimony, okay, among you was believed in that day. Or was a believe, our testimony by you was believed. So what you tell, see, it was your our testimony was believed by you was believed in that day. What we told about, it's what he was saying about to the people in that day was, you told these Thessalonians, the overcomers, he said, you told people about what we did and showed in you, and people believed, and because they believed by your testimony, what you told them of the truth of God. It's no different than you when you tell people of the things that God has done in your life. You'd be surprised how many people, like we did a wedding about, I don't know how many years ago, of a guy that I went to school with. He was younger than me, and a woman that works with Lois, and his sister graduated with me. And she said, who's marrying you? And they live up in Columbus. And she said, he told her, she said, well, Dave Fields. And she said, there ain't no way. I'll have to come and see that to believe it. Yeah. Well, no one would believe, no one ever thought that'd be where I go. You know what? I didn't think I'd ever be where I'm at. I never did. It wasn't my choice, you know. I was just like Paul riding on his donkey. He wasn't riding on a donkey anyway, just joke. But I was on that Damascus road myself. I had that experience of my own way of having it, my own envisioning of it, and doesn't make any difference. Because I was religious as Paul was, even though I didn't know anything about it. You can be religious without even being aware of what's going on. Verse 11, wherefore also we pray always concerning you that our God, and it's not that our God, you know, no, it's not just, that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all of the desire of, the word his isn't there, desire of goodness and work of faith, not the work, but and work of faith with power. And then the last one, the last verse 12, that the name, the nature, the character, the authority, okay, of our Lord Jesus Christ, cross out the word may, because that's an added word, that the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified where? In you. And you where? There's got to be a flow there. Remember I said the reciprocation in our understanding to talk to people? When we get someplace and we can't talk, you can't talk, what good is it? It's a one-way street. That's telling you there's a reciprocation because he's glorified in you and you are glorified in him. That changed positions, didn't it? Christ in me and then me in Christ. Big difference, isn't there? Whenever I'm in Christ, you don't see me. You see the Christ in me. Absolutely. See, it's not our choice, is it? Is it our choice? No. According to the grace, that divine influence, and a reflection of that into your lifestyle of our God, so it's God's lifestyle reflecting back. God gave you a glimpse of his life. Now you can reflect it out to somebody else. That's all it is.
You just get one with him and pow.
There it is. Just reflecting him. That word the Lord Jesus Christ, again, that word the is not there. It's another added word. So it's still making a separation between God and Jesus. Right? And there's no difference.
God is one.
Right. But it says here, should say, according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. He's our God and Lord Jesus Christ. And by putting that demonic the in there, It makes it sound like there's two people. Okay? That girl that contacted me this week, we've contacted a few times on the web. She had a real issue, let's say, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity thing, you know.
And I, huh?
Well, a lot of churches teach that same thing. A lot of churches teach. The word's not in the book, and the teaching's not in the book. And so I tell most people, you can teach anything you want to once you got the whole book taught. I don't need to teach anything else till I get all this finished, and I'm not finished yet. So when I get done with this, then I can talk about rock climbing and Boy Scouts and taking road trips. Yeah. So I'm done with all that stuff, you know. And until I get the whole book preached,